You are listening to the Passion City Church podcast. To learn more about Passion City Church, including our gathering times in Atlanta and Washington, D.C., visit us online at PassionCityChurch.com. Today's talk comes from Grant Partrick.
When I was in middle school, I had three brothers, one older brother and two younger brothers. When I was in middle school, we became entrepreneurs. And we were part of a family where you would do all of your chores, which really weren't, I guess they were chores, but we didn't get paid for them. Now, I lead middle schoolers, and somebody will come in, you know, and it's like they cleaned up their room, and they got $75, and I'm like, what is happening in the world, you know? My dad just said, do your chores or else, and I went and cut the grass and washed his car and did everything you could possibly imagine. So we did what everybody does that's in middle school and wants to make money. We took a family size of Country Time lemonade, and we mixed it up. And we said, we're going to sell these for 50 cents a cup. And we did that. The problem is, in our subdivision, there was only 8 houses. So we stayed out there all day long and didn't make any money. And we thought, this is not a good plan. We need to adjust our plan. And then we found a new market, a profitable market. This market is called pet sitting. Anybody ever did pet sitting when you were young? I'm telling you, there is cash to be made in pet sitting. We came up with a plan. We would watch your dog. We would watch your cat. We would charge you more for that, but we would watch your cat. And one time when I was in middle school, somebody in our neighborhood reached out to us. They had two dogs, and then they had another animal, a parrot. We didn't know anything about parrots, but we thought this is a new chance for us to come up with a new package and raise the price. Three animals, one bird, this is your new price. How hard can it be to take care of a bird? So we get to their house, and we're taking care of the dogs, and we're taking care of the bird, and everything's great, and we're splitting up the responsibilities among all of my brothers and I. One of the responsibilities was also that you had to take the trash out. We raised the price, but it was worth it. So we're taking the trash out. The bird's name is Birdie. Very creative. I say this all the time. I feel like I've said this here before. When you move way OTP, you just call things what they are. The steakhouse is the steakhouse. The bird's name is Birdie. You just go with whatever it is, and it works, okay? And so Birdie and the two dogs, we're all hanging out. My brother is taking the trash out. So he's going in the garage, and then he's going to hit the button, and then the garage is going to go up. And then he's going to take the trash out while we're all watching Birdie. Now, this bird was a trained bird. You could say words to the bird, and the bird would say the words back to you. You know these kind of birds? This is crazy. You would say something to the bird, and the bird would say it back to you. And so my younger brother and I are just playing with the bird. Like, this is crazy. A bird can say words. This is the most incredible thing ever. We should be paying to hang out with this bird. And then so the bird's out of the cage talking to all of us. My oldest brother, taking out the trash, opens the garage door, then opens the garage door, and as he does, he leaves the doorway into the living room open. And Birdie does not want to talk to us anymore. Birdie books it for the door. And the garage door is closing, and all you see is this yellow bird go, and we thought to ourselves, we should have bought an insurance policy for this business. So we spend the next few hours at the bottom of trees looking up, you know, like calling the bird, like, here, Birdie, come back. We got food inside, you know, and the bird's like flying from tree to tree. And as it went from one tree, all of my brothers would run over to the next tree like, we still got him. We haven't lost him yet. He's right. He's not in the house, but we have not lost him. The bird is right there. And we would just do that from tree to tree to tree to tree to tree. And then all of a sudden, Birdie threw us for a loop. And we're all looking at each other like, do you know where Birdie went? I don't see where Birdie went. And Birdie was free. And this was a problem. Because we had an agreement that we would take care of two dogs and one bird. The dogs were cool. They were still at home. Bird, no idea. So we start coming up with a plan among my brothers and I. What are we going to do? What are we going to tell these people? We lost their animal. What are we supposed to do? So we did what all of you would do. We went to the pet store. We showed him a picture of the bird, and we said, we need a bird that looks just like this bird. Do you have one? Great. I don't care how much it costs, we'll take that bird. So we got new birdie, and we brought new birdie into old birdie's house. And we put new birdie into old birdie's cage, and then we just hope for the best. We started trying to teach birdie the same words that old birdie knew, you know what I'm saying? And we just played it off. Like, they came home, it was like there was a yellow, greenish bird in the cage, everything looked cool, dogs were happy, and we were like, man, that was a close call, but we're still in business. Only to find out a few days later that the hair around Birdie's forehead was a different color than it was before, and we were found out. And we had to write a letter, and we had to go apologize, and we had to tell them what happened. We were busted. And our business took a hit. Net income that year was low. The Yelp reviews, like, they're really nice guys, but might lose your pet. Yeah, why are you telling me that story? I tell you that story in a lighthearted way to just tell you we're good at trying to cover things up, aren't we? Have you ever gone to extreme measures to try to cover something up? I remember being in that pet store and trying to talk to the guy who worked in the pet store in a way that he didn't know that I had lost somebody's pet. And been just thinking, as we're bringing the bird home, maybe this is going to work. Like, this is never going to work. You can't just sub out somebody's pet and them never know. But somehow I was so desperate for them not to know about our failure that I was like, it's worth a shot. Let's see if it works. You know what I mean? But if you think about it in your life, and if I think about it honestly in my life, all of us constantly go to extreme measures to try to hide what is actually happening. And I know in a room like this, it's this, here's another guy talking about this, and it's difficult to try to pull out from the hidden places the things that we don't want people to see. But I want to invite you to reach into that place in your heart, bring that out, and let's let God speak to that part of your heart tonight. And I believe as he does, it's going to free you and it's going to free me. Imagine what it would look like if you didn't have to hide things anymore. It would look pretty amazing. There's this big theological idea that God is omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. Like, what does that mean? That means he's all-powerful, he's omnipotent, he's omnipresent, he's everywhere all the time, and he's omniscient. He knows everything. There is not one thing that has ever been done or ever will be done that is hidden from Jesus. That's a crazy reality. So I want to read you this text from Psalm 139. It's written by David. It's going to come on the screen. If you have your Bible, you can turn there and read it for yourself, but I'll read it for all of us. It says this, starting in verse 1, Psalm 139. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Here's a crazy big theological idea that wrecked me when I was in college. God knows everything about everything. Let me make it more personal. God knows everything about you. Everything you want him to know about you and everything you don't want him to know about you. God knows everything. He knows every word written on every page, on every book, on the entire planet. His knowledge is all-encompassing. He has never learned. There is nothing that has ever happened on planet Earth that God had to find out about. He has all knowledge. And that's one idea, but when you take the idea and you lay it over your personal life, it becomes something that shifted my whole life. When I realized this idea, I am found out. I'm found out. You ever get found out by your parents? Anybody? Y'all can't be real. I'm the only one that ever got found out by your parents. I got found out by my parents many times. And there were days when I thought I had done a good job of hiding things. There were days when I thought, they ain't never gonna find out about this. And they didn't, unless they hear this podcast. Like, we are good hiders. We are. But the idea today is this, that even the things that are so far tucked away that even your closest friends don't know about, Jesus knows about and sees them in full. Not only the things that you've done, but also the things that you have thought. He knows every thought you have ever had. This will mess you up. You start thinking about God knows everything you've ever done, that will mess you up. And so today, I want to pull out 4 points from here that I believe will help free us from the chains of things that we have tried to hide in our life. Number one is this. I would write these down if I were you. Number one, there is no such thing as hiding. Number one, there is no such thing as hiding. When you read the narrative of the scripture, you see creation happening in Genesis 1, and then it took us just a couple of pages before we wrecked everything. God spoke everything into existence. Everything was good. Everything was perfect. Adam and Eve are there. Everything's perfect. They're walking with God in the cool of the day. Then you get to Genesis 3, and we screw it all up. And in that, you find this. If you read in Genesis 3, chapter 8, after they had been tempted by the serpent, he had twisted the words of God. He was deceptive and made them think that God didn't say what he really said. And the woman takes the fruit and she gives some to her husband. And this is the first sin. Sin enters into humanity. And within a few verses of that, this is what it says. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Listen, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Our desire to hide the things that we're not proud of is a result. The birthplace of this idea is the beginning of sin. That's what's happening in Genesis 3. There was no need to ever hide anything before sin entered into the world. And all of a sudden, when Adam and Eve realized we just did what God didn't want us to do, we just chose our way over God's way, they begin to fashion clothes made out of fig leaves, and it says that they hide from God. That's pretty amazing. And then it says, but the Lord God called to the man, where are you? Not, this isn't like some kind of cosmic hide and go seek game that's happening on here. God wasn't actually wondering where they are as though he had lost them. But all of a sudden there's Adam and Eve and the Lord, and they had been, everything was cool. They had been walking through the garden together in perfect paradise. And then they chose sin. And what happened was there was a fracture in relationship. And where they used to always migrate towards the Lord, now they said, we better go run and hide. He's gonna be angry at us. And the truth of that is, that's still the same thing that happens to us today, believers or non-believers. The moment where you feel like, man, I just let God down, he would not be happy with that decision. Our tendency, our default position as sinful people is, we better go run and hide from him. We better try to tuck that as far back into a corner, push it under the rug, put it under the bed, and pray like crazy that he never checks under the bed. And I believe that these hidden parts of our heart, these are the things that are keeping us up at night. These are the things that are making us more of an anxious generation than has ever lived before in humanity. These are the things that are robbing us of peace. And God wants to say, this is God's heart. He's going, no. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not a run and hide message. It's a come and see message. He doesn't want his children running away from him. But this idea is huge, that God sees us totally and fully. Jeremiah 16, 17. My eyes are on all. That's a big word that encompasses a lot of things, on all of their ways. They are not hidden from me. Hebrews 4, 13. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Like, man, this is encouraging. I'm so glad I came tonight. Here's the reality. There are no secrets. There are no secrets. There is nothing in your life that God doesn't know about. There might be things in your life, if we can just be real. Maybe there's deleted history on your browser that nobody else knows about. God knows about it. He sees the history after you cleared the history. Maybe there's a second social media platform. There's one that you want all of your church friends to see, and there's ones that you don't want any of your church friends to see. Guess what? It has not been hidden from God. He sees it all. There are no secrets. And when I first heard that, it intimidated me. Because I thought to myself, whoa, I have done such a good job of hiding this. I have crossed every T and dotted every I. Nobody has been on to me at all. I have left no trail. And you're telling me that this God knows everything that I've ever done? More than that, he knows everything that I've ever thought? Like, I don't know about you, but I got some thoughts that make me worry about myself. You? You ever thought something and you're like, man, what is wrong with you? I have those. And God knows about them. But over time, as I got into his word, what I realized is that that didn't need to intimidate me. That actually is most necessary for me. If I believe the story is to be true, then there can be nothing about my life that he doesn't know about. Because if it is, it doesn't count. If there's parts that he doesn't see, then it would be very difficult to me to go, oh, on the cross, all of my sin were paid for. What I actually say and what I actually mean is different. I say all my sin, but what I actually live like is the ones that everybody knows about was paid for. And that's not the story of the gospel. But I believe we would never say that. I get it. We would never say that. But I believe that the way that we live our lives suggests that. And I want to pull those things out tonight because Jesus isn't afraid of them. And he already sees them, and he already knows about them. Number two, in order to be truly loved, we must be deeply known. In order to be truly loved, we must be deeply known. I believe it is the great longing of the human heart to be truly known. You want the real you to be known and accepted and loved. I've never walked into a room and said that because I'm a man. Never walked into a room and just like, I'm just here to be loved and accepted. Anybody here? Like, nobody would ever say that. But that's what I'm looking for. If you're a woman, you just call the group that. The loved and accepted group, and everything's great. I would never say that. But this is a common denominator between every person in this room. Everybody wants to be known, and everybody wants to be accepted. This is what Tim Keller says on this, which is I thought is amazing. He says, to be loved but not known is comforting but superficial. That's pretty powerful. To be known and not loved is our greatest fear. But to be fully known and truly loved is, well, it's a lot like being loved by God. It's what we need more than anything. It liberates us from pretense, humbles us out of our self-righteousness, and fortifies us for any difficulty life can throw our ways. See, what's tricky is in all of our relationships, we think this way. We have the version of us that we know our friends know about, right? And you're trying to somehow keep all the folders straight. Like, okay, they know this about me, and they know this about me, and they know this about me. Wait, should I tell this group that or this group that? And it's so complicated and complex, and it causes us anxiety. It causes us pressure. It robs us of our peace. What we're afraid of is this: if they knew the real me, they wouldn't be my friend anymore. If they knew how I truly felt, they wouldn't be around me anymore. And all of us walk on eggshells, afraid of truly being known, while at the same time having a heart whose greatest desire is to be fully accepted. But you cannot be fully accepted if you are not totally known. You know what I'm saying? Because if not, every relationship you're in, you might feel accepted, but somewhere in your brain you're going, yeah, but if they knew this, they wouldn't want to go. If she knew this about me, she would never have said yes to go on a date with me. If he knew this about me, they would have never hired me at this place. And we live in this paralyzing fear of managing our image in front of people. But our heart wants to be known. Wants to be known for who we are. The heaviest part of the heart is the part that has never been exposed. The part of your heart that keeps you up at night. It's likely that it's the part of your heart where you've tucked all the secret things away. And that's what keeps you up at night. That's what's robbing your peace. That's what's making you anxious. So the beauty of having a God who knows and sees everything is that he, though seeing everything and knowing everything, his relationship with you has not faltered. Does this make sense to you? There is someone who knows everything about you, including every thought that you've ever had. And with knowing that information, he didn't run. He stayed. He actually moved towards you. And this is an amazing truth, an amazing reality. The woman at the well, what was her testimony? You remember this story, right? The woman at the well, as she encounters Jesus, what is the testimony that she brings back to the town? She says this, what? She says, "A man told me everything I ever did." You know how comforting that must be to a woman who's been divorced 5 times? "He knows everything I ever did." That was her testimony. That was what caused her to ultimately worship. Why? Because she felt he really, truly knows me. He doesn't know about number one. He doesn't know about number two. He doesn't know about this mistake, but not this mistake. He sees my life in total. Every mistake I've ever made, he sees it completely. And even in that, he chose to move towards me. This is the beauty of having a God who knows and sees everything about you. Peter, when he's restored in John chapter 21, and the Lord asks him, he says, "Do you love me?" What's Peter's response? He says, "You know that I love you. You know that I love you." And then the third time says it more emphatically. He says, "You know everything. You know that I love you." That's comforting. To somebody who's messed up the plan, it's comforting to know that there's someone who knows about all the mess ups and yet still has a plan for your life. But we live as though if he knew about this, we would be cast out of the story. No, no, no. If he knew about this, he already does. And the fact that this happened and he knows about it is what makes us a candidate to be used by God. This is what's important about authenticity. Galatians 6 says this: "Carry each other's burdens, and in this you will fulfill the law of Christ." So I think about this as a church. When you just read about the history of the church, the story of the church exists to carry each other's burdens. That's why we're here. We are here to lift up and worship Jesus, and we are here to carry each other's burdens. That's what Paul says, not me. But it's gonna be very difficult to carry each other's burdens if nobody knows that anybody else has any burdens. If everybody just comes in and puts on their profile picture version of them, it's gonna be very difficult for us to carry each other's burdens. And that's what's happening in the world. What? Nobody's having their burdens carried because everybody's afraid of what people would think if they knew about the burdens that I have. So everybody keeps it to themselves. They get pushed back in a corner. Secret sin begins to rot inside of them and they think to themselves, I'm worse off than I actually am. And what I want us to understand is this: our role as a community, as a church, as a college ministry, as a student ministry, in your community group, our role is not to put on a perfect version of us. Our role is not also to tweet out, here's my six sins from the last week. No, it's to be living authentically with the people around you and to go, no, that person actually knows me. That person actually knows me and they're helping me carry my burden. Look, everybody has burden. The scripture says we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So why do we act like we've never sinned? What's the point in that? It's not working. Like, how is your perfected version of you working out for you? I've played the game where I have to just manage my image and try to make sure that I look good and clean and nobody knows the bad parts about me. And it left me worse off than I would have been had I just said, hey, I'm here and I could use some help. In this, the church of Jesus has to be the place where you can come and lay those things down to a God who knows about it and can do something about it. And in the community of your brothers and sisters as a church that will put their arms around you and go, okay, that's where you're at. Well, we're moving forward. I'm gonna make sure, me and you, I'm carrying your burdens. That's what Paul told me to do. And we are moving forward. This is what I believe we are called to do. Just for me, this is so heavy because in student ministry context, over the last year, year and a half, there have been 5 schools where students have committed suicide. Suicide's up 16% over the last 20 years in the state of Georgia. And there's a lot of factors for that. So I'm not trying to say this is the total reason. But can I tell you what I think might be a reason? What might be a reason is nobody is actually known by anybody. Our friends are people who followed us back, not people who carry our burdens. And your friend isn't someone who reposts you. Your friend is someone who gets in the trenches with you. But nobody's gonna get in the trench with you if nobody knows you have a trench going on. So we have to be open and real with people. Number 3, Jesus didn't give his life for the filtered version of you. Jesus did not give his life for the Valencia filtered version of you. But we've learned to do that, haven't we? I mean, can we just be real for a minute? We've learned how to do that. I've learned how to do that. You've learned how to do that. You have learned how to take yourself, broken, fractured, hurting, and go, swipe, swipe, I'm good, let's take on Monday. And what's dangerous is that some of us come in this place that way. But look, Jesus didn't die for the future version of you, for the better version of you, for the perfected version of you. He didn't die for the version of you that you want to become. He died for the version of you that you are right now in your sin. Broken as you are, fractured as you are, messed up as you are. The scripture says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Not once we were looked good publicly and felt okay to come outside, then Christ was willing to die for us. No, in the middle of our sin, when we were at our worst, Christ died for us. And when I think about that, man, That's so rare in today's culture for us to even think that, you know? Like, we can take terrible photos and make them look cool. You know that. Just next time you see a cool photo, text the person and ask them for the original photo. And you will think they are way less good of a photographer than you currently think that they are. But we have to stop doing that to our lives. We have to stop doing that before a God who already knows everything. We have to come as we are. And if we bring the parts of our heart that we are ashamed of and embarrassed by, and we bring them to God, in that place we might find healing. And I just want to encourage all of us to do that. Image management can be a stressful job. It can be. If you're a college student or a high school student, it takes a lot to manage your image. Online, on Twitter, on Instagram, on Snapchat, what do people think about me? What are people seeing of me? And if you're not careful, you will bring that same mentality into your relationship with God, and that's not the you that he wants. He wants the real you. Fourth point, last one is this. The results are already on record. You see, what we're afraid of when we are tempted to be vulnerable with other people, what we are afraid of most is that we will be rejected, right? But what if I told you that the answer is already written in stone? Never going to change. This would be like, this is a new thing. If you are a high school boy and you're interested in a girl, you no longer go to that girl and ask her out. You go to that girl's friends and you ask her friends, what would she say if I asked her out? Then her friends go and ask her, what would you say if so-and-so asked you out? And they either say, or. And if they go, you don't ask, but if they go this, you got pretty much solid confidence going into that conversation. I'm asking you this, knowing the result ahead of time. You don't really have to have that much courage in that moment. You're like, I already know the answer. And for us, listen, there are things represented in this room that there are, when I even just start talking about hidden parts of the heart, there are things in people's minds that have been in your minds for 25 years. Nobody knows about it but you and God. There are decisions that have been made. There are addictions that still currently exist. There are temptations. There are all kinds of things represented in this room. Not in you, in me also. And the minute you start talking about pulling out the hidden parts of our heart, I automatically go, nope, lock that thing up. That doesn't need to ever be exposed. But what's the fear in exposing it? The fear is that we will be rejected. The answer to that from God's word is this. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. What you're worried about doesn't exist. What's keeping you from being authentic doesn't exist. You're worried that somehow you're gonna shock God by your sin? He's known about it all the time. He knew when he went to the cross that this was gonna be a hard job, that this was gonna be messy, that there were gonna be things, that this was gonna be a difficult task. He knew all that. But we live lives as though we're saying, if he knew about this, he would have somehow changed his decision about doing this for me. No, he wouldn't. God doesn't regret the decision he made to save you or to save me. He wouldn't take it back if he could. Jesus isn't in heaven right now going, man, if I could just take that one scar right there, if I could have that back, I really would like to have that one back. No, he's going, man, I would never trade this for a million years. And yet somehow, we think we need to hide the difficult parts of our life in front of him. And he's going, no, you don't need to hide the difficult parts of your heart from me. I'm the one that paid the price for the difficult parts in your heart. I am the one that paid the price for the things that you're ashamed of. And when I made this shift in my brain, I made this shift from Jesus died for the sins of the world. True statement. 100% true. I've heard it 1,000 times. It's amazing. Nothing wrong with that statement. But when I realized this, Jesus died for my sin, that changed everything for me. Because when you use the word all, it's easy to get lost in the bigness of it. Right? When you say he died for all the sins of the world, you begin to think how many that must be. Surely somehow there was some that got lost in translation there. But no. When you take it and you go, no, Jesus died for my sin. My sin is what pierced his hands and feet. The ones that I know that he knows about and the ones that I thought he didn't know about, he's paid for. And I just believe this more than anything tonight in this room. I believe that the number one thing robbing our peace is things that we're afraid of other people finding out about. But this isn't the life of a believer. This isn't the way that God wants to be in relationship with us. He wants us to come as us, cracked, flawed, messed up, wish we could take things back. He wants us to come to him because in that moment, our gratitude for him is multiplied by a billion, right? Because what you think is this, if he paid for all these things over here that I'm okay with people knowing about, that was a great price, but I can kind of grip my brain around that. But what if you thought about this? Christ died for every thought you've ever had that would make you sick. Christ died for every decision you ever made that you wish you could take back. He died for everything you're afraid of, everything you're ashamed of, every bit of guilt and shame you have from 15 or 20 years ago that nobody on earth knows about but you. Nobody on earth knows about. And he's going, no. Not only do I know about it, I paid for it. And so you staying up at night worrying about that, that means you need to get in this book more. And you need to understand that I'm not going to allow the guilt and the shame that has zero balance left at the bottom line to keep me up one more night. It's been paid for in full. And there is no sin big enough to require two payments. If Jesus paid for the things that are hidden in your life with his life, you now owe nothing but gratitude and thankfulness. And that's the kind of people, that's the kind of children, that's the posture that God wants us to come to him. And so tonight, just as we close, all week this week, I've been thinking about people in this room, students that I know of, families in this church that I'm connected to their story. I thought about my life as a college student when I began to know Jesus, and I spent the next 5 years of my life wrestling with this idea of like, okay, well, if I am a Christian, if I am in church, how much of me can be there? And there's those people here in this room right now. There's people in this room that have been carrying eating disorders for 7 years. Nobody knows a thing about it. You've done such a great job of hiding it from the public. But God's going, I see it. And not only do I see it, I've forgiven you of it. And that thing shouldn't be the thing that keeps you up one more night because there is $0 remaining on that balance. It's been covered and paid for in full.
If you are encouraged by today's talk and believe it would be uplifting to others, then be sure to rate us and hit subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you stream your podcasts. To experience other talks, videos, and live gatherings, visit us online at PassionCityChurch.com or download the Passion Movement app. And again, thanks for listening to the Passion City Church podcast.